In the chilled, pre-dawn January darkness, American sentries and listening posts realized that something was afoot. After several days of relative quiet, they picked up a great deal of movement over on the British side. Art and the others were rousted from their bedrolls and moved quickly to the barricades. There, Harding's Legion took up its assigned position, right in the center of the line. Looking down along each side of him, Art could see the other defenders, holding their rifles and shivering in the cold, though he suspected perhaps many were shivering from fear as well. Surprisingly, he himself felt no particular fear, and this allowed him to be a dispassionate observer. What he saw was 4,000 Americans facing a British force that was nearly twice their number. Gradually, the sky grew lighter, but an exceptionally thick fog rolled in, so that even with the coming of dawn, the Americans still couldn't see the British troops. They could still hear them, though.
Fix bayonets!
Bayonets were attached to the ends of the long British Brown Bess rifles. The rifles were so long that when the bayonets were affixed, they were almost like pikes, and in the hands of trained soldiers, they made quite a formidable weapon. Shortly after that, the Americans faced a new terror. The British began their attack with a broadside of rockets. Art had never seen anything like it. He watched with as much fascination as fear, seeing first the flare of their launch, gleaming even through the morning mist, then the glare of their transit, and finally, the projectiles themselves as they emerged, spitting fire from the fog to explode over the heads of the Americans. After the barrage, there followed several moments of silence. In its own way, the silence was as frightening as the whoosh and explosions of the rockets had been.
They're coming, Major Harden.
I know. Don't let it get to you.
Nervousness began to ripple up and down the American lines. Some of the soldiers began to shift about anxiously. They looked back over their shoulders several times, as if searching out the most desirable escape route. Harding noticed the unease among his troops.
Easy, man. Easy. Stand your ground now.
Art stared into the thick mist, straining to see. For several long moments, there was nothing. Then, as if apparitions were suddenly and mysteriously forming in the mist, the British Army materialized. Art saw the magnificent but intimidating sight of beautifully uniformed and well-trained soldiers in a disciplined battle-line front formation. Their bayonets were fixed, and their rifles were thrust forward. Not until this very moment could the Americans do anything more than wait.
Count off!
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1.
Those who were number one would kneel and fire the first volley. Then number two would fire while the number one reloaded.
Major, we gotta get out of here. There's more than twice as many as them as there is of us. And with this dampness and all, it ain't certain our powder will explode.
Stay where you are. Their powder's gonna be just as wet.
Yes, but there's a lot more of them than there is of us. And they got bayonets. We're crazy to stay here like this.
Take it easy, Monroe.
I don't need no whip behind ears, boy, telling me to take it easy.
At least Sergeant Gregory isn't panicking like a child.
The last comment had the desired effect, and though Monroe was still twitching nervously, he was no longer talking about it.
Hold your fire, man, hold your fire! Don't fire until you can see their belt buckles.
The British advanced to a distance of about 40 yards. At that point, they halted.
Extend front!
As if on parade, the British line extended out, fingertip to fingertip, eyeing up and down the rank in order to be properly aligned. The officers drew their sabers and held them up.
Forward at the double!
The entire British line began running toward the ramparts, their bayonet-tipped rifles thrust forward. The officers ran before them, brandishing their swords. This was a bayonet charge being made by battle-hardened and well-disciplined soldiers. Harding's Legion, as indeed most of the others of Jackson's army, consisted of militiamen, many seeing battle for the first time. They fought back the bile of fear that rose in their throats, and they waited. Art aimed at one of the soldiers. He held the aim for a long moment, awaiting the order to fire. Then, capriciously, he shifted his aim to another soldier, sparing for no particular reason the first soldier. Harding waited until the British were at point-blank range.
Fire!